Good evening. Well, it's been a joy to be with you today. It's been truly a joy to be with you even over the past several weeks as our family has been able to spend time with you. We've enjoyed, of course, partnering with Fellowship over the last 4 years and even longer, four years that we've been in Nairobi, but Fellowship partnered with us even before that as we were heading to the field. It's a joy for us to be back this evening to be able to report to you what's going on in Nairobi, Kenya. We've been there for 4 years. We've been back on our home assignment, or furlough, as it's often been called, for the last basically 5 months. We came back in mid-June. Now we are here in Lakeland for another week and a half before we head up north to the snow, the ice, the cold in Michigan for the month of December, and then we head back to Nairobi in January. We're currently trying to raise some more support. Fellowship has done a wonderful service for us. It's been a great partnering church. I've enjoyed over the past month and a half that we've been in Lakeland, even while I've been traveling and the family has been traveling on the weekends to a few other churches, we've been able to spend a lot of time with you. You have been tremendous and wonderful. I've enjoyed being able to get to know some of you even more. It's been a great joy to our hearts and a strengthening and a foundational time for our children. That's been wonderful. But even as Fellowship has partnered with us financially and in prayer, it's been a tremendous blessing to our hearts. So we thank you for that. We thank you for the role that you've played in helping to encourage our children, to help build them up, building us up, encouraging us. We're at about 80% support right now as we're trying to increase a little bit, and we've seen a little bit more come in, or at least churches have pledged that they're going to partner with us in the next year, so we look forward to that as well. We're going back in January no matter what, but you can pray with us that we would be able to raise a little bit more support as the financial needs are increasing a little bit in Nairobi. I want to give you a little bit of a report of what's going on, give you a window into Nairobi. We'd love to have any of you. If you would like to visit us one day, we'd love to have you. We'd, of course, love to show you what's going on in the ministry. I'm going to talk to Pastor Pyatt and see what we can do for maybe in 2018 for having him come over. We'd love to show off the Lord's work and be an encouragement, have him be an encouragement to us, or any of you be an encouragement to us. And of course, we'd love to encourage you as well. And of course, we can always lure over Pastor Pyatt just by saying, number one, that, hey, we'd love to have you over. We know how he loves to travel and to partake in ministry and to preach 17 times in like 2 days or something like that. We can certainly do that for him. But also, we have, I've told him, we have monkeys come through our house and steal our fruit and things like that. He would love it. He'd feel right at home. And we have the best safaris in the world are in Kenya. So we'd love to be able to do that. I wanted to first say, of course, we've been there for 4 years. We're sent, maybe you don't know, we're sent by First Baptist Church of Lake Orion, which is, Lake Orion is a suburb of Detroit up in Michigan. We're sent through Grace Baptist Mission, which is a mission agency that was started by Inner City Baptist Church. Inner City started a seminary in the late 70s. It's actually where I received my Master of Divinity from. And they then, I think in the late 90s, developed a mission agency to send out missionaries that were predominantly coming out of the seminary there. And so we have the great privilege of being sent through Grace Baptist Mission by First Baptist Church of Lake Orion. You see there on the screen behind me, of course, our family and Reaching, Preaching, and Teaching. Earlier this summer, it dawned on me, Reaching, Preaching, and Teaching, that's not the names of our children, as you well know. Those are the categories under which we go and send. I'll talk more about that in a few moments. You know, the danger of dimming the house lights, I can't see the clock very well. So I'm going to, you'll bear with me. I will shoot for 7 o'clock. But I would welcome any questions. So part of that, I would love to hear any questions that you might have and be able to address those as we go through. And so I'll put some of the onus back on you. If we go over, part of it might be that answering some of the questions, but I'd be more than happy. As I've said, we've been there for 4 years. Janet homeschools the kids and does that full time. As you know, that is definitely a full time job. And she, as I get into it, she has some other duties that she or ministry opportunities that she fulfills there as well. we go as a team. So part of what I want to do this evening is to report back on what's going on in Nairobi. Part of that is fulfillment of what we see in Acts 13 and 14. Paul and Barnabas, the Spirit came upon them. They saw that the Spirit had set them aside for the work to go out to other areas to preach the gospel. The church affirmed them, commissioned them, sent them. They went out. They went into various areas. They would preach the gospel, gather converts, assimilate into a church, and then he'd go to the next region, and then he circled back through and checked on them. And then eventually, in the end of Acts 14, he comes back and reports to the church in Antioch that had sent them and gave them a report of what God had done through them and through that church by sending them. And that's why we report as well, is that we want you to see what God is doing because of you and through you as you commission and send us. And we go as a team, so I want to encourage you in that report, but also to give a little bit of a philosophy. And part of that is that in our teamwork, we have here Dan and Angie Huffstetler and Jeremy and Jenny Pitsley, who we serve with. And Dan is the field leader there in Nairobi. Dan and Angie have been there a few years before Jeremy, Jenny, and our family reached as well. And we go as a team because I think part of that is it's helpful in one way when we have the difficult seasons that come, which are thankfully are few, but they are there from time to time. And even when you have the frustrations in ministry, we have teammates who can help and encourage and lift up and exhort. Also, I think it's good to go as a team. A second reason would be that it keeps you on mission and on focus. And as things come into our brains and our teammates' brains and we say, hey, let's do this and I'm thinking about this, we can say, well, does that fit why we've been sent? Fellowship Baptist Church, First Baptist Lake Orion, and other churches that have partnered with us have said, here is why we're sending you. And we can give that check and balance and make sure we stay on task and why we've been sent. And thirdly, of course, is for moral purity and accountability. As we send missionaries across the world, we are sending them as Pastor Pius says, as an extension of our staff around the world. And because we're doing that, we say that there is, of course, the church has a real entrusting to those individuals, but they're also on the other side of the world, so there's not a whole lot of day-to-day accountability, and so we need that. We need that for moral accountability, for personal righteousness, and so we go as a team to help sustain that as well. And throughout the history of missions, and certainly in modern missions, teams have their good things that go with them, but also there are some personal, interpersonal relationships that can be difficult at times. And many times when missionaries come home from the field, it's because of problems within a team. And thankfully, we have none of that. We have great team unity, so praise the Lord for that. So I wanted to give a little bit of, so you understand that we go as a team and help you to understand what that looks like. And you see on the bottom, I think this was Thanksgiving a couple years ago, all of our children were gathered. There's each of the families actually have three children. The Huffstetlers have three girls, they have three boys, and of course we have a wonderful mix. Why is it that we go? Why have you sent us and partnered with us as we go to Nairobi, Kenya? Well, our mission is simply we want to see healthy Kenyan churches planted. That is the institution that God has ordained that in this time period he is calling worshipers unto himself and adding them to his kingdom. It's through the church. And so the bottom line is we want to see churches planted. We want to see healthy Kenyan churches planted and developed. And we want them to be truly Kenyan. And so part of that is we have a mission philosophy that is how can we see Kenyan churches developed and have them be healthy. And so we're training churchmen to love and serve in Christ's church. And in that idea of churchmen is really a whole connection and constellation of ideas. But in that, we're simply saying that we want men who see what the church is all about and have an investment in it and love it and are working in Christ's church to see others developed and to see it go forward, to see worshipers called into the kingdom of God and to see worshipers of his name. And so really, that's the bottom line. It's really as simple as that. Just to remind you a little bit of what Nairobi is like, first of all, it's a strategic center in East Africa. You see First of all, I want to highlight that you can see the positioning here in East Africa. Kenya is actually the core of the nations that are typically considered East Africa. You have up there Somalia, Ethiopia, South Sudan, Uganda, Tanzania, and Kenya. Those make up, depending on who you're talking to, but typically those are the East African nations. And you see geographically it plays a hub role because all of the other East African nations touch Kenya. But also it is the leader, not just geographically, but economically, geopolitically, socioeconomically. So there are many people who are coming into Kenya and specifically into Nairobi because of its importance in the region. Nairobi is the largest city in all of East Africa, and it's a very cosmopolitan city, bringing in people from all over East Africa, actually from all over the world because the UN has a headquarters there. And every embassy of the world is in Nairobi. And so it plays a strategic role for reaching not just Kenyans, but even expats who are in the country. And expats is, a complicated way of saying immigrants. So we consider ourselves expats in Kenya, but we're simply outsiders, expatriates, as it were. And there's a great theological need. Nairobi is a city of 4.5 million. Kenya is a country of about 42 million. So over 10% of the country lives in the city of Nairobi. Nairobi, despite its size of over 4.5 million, there are only a handful of churches that are preaching the gospel. It's a city that's the physical size of maybe the size of Lakeland. Actually, that's pretty much stretching it. Nairobi is actually smaller than Lakeland is physically. Now imagine packing in 40 times the number of people, and you have Nairobi. And so we were talking about the Potts, of course, live in North Lakeland. It takes us about 25 minutes to get down to the church here. In Nairobi, it would take us well over 3 hours to get from one side of the city to the other. And in that scope of moving across the city, you only have a couple of churches that are preaching the gospel. Most of the churches are handed over to the prosperity gospel and certainly Pentecostal backgrounds. In much of the global south, and certainly in sub-Saharan Africa, Pentecostalism and prosperity gospel go hand in hand. And I think the Jurtbergs could probably testify to the same, that there are, when you have one, you have the other. Unlike in American Christianity, where you can have one without the other, that's not the case in much of the world. And so you're constantly facing these battles with not just tongues, but also a false gospel that says, basically, come to Christ and you can have a bunch of stuff. You will do well in life. And that's not the gospel. That's idolatry. And so we're constantly facing that. And in Nairobi, there were churches, true biblical churches that were growing in Kenya in general, and yet they were in great need of leaders. And so the Kenyan leaders are asking for help, and how do we train the next generation? And maybe just to fill out a little bit of mission philosophy, when we talk about missions, there's really, I think, two phases of missions. One is a pioneering role, where you're going to a place where the gospel has never been preached or has been little reached. And the other side is the perpetuating role in missions, where the gospel has been there, maybe it's been there for a long time, but there's a need to see the people in that region take a hold of it and to be equipped for perpetuating into the next generation. And in much of sub-Saharan Africa, the gospel is not new. It's not a pioneering field. The gospel has been in much of sub-Saharan Africa for 100, 150 years. But the problem is that we seem to be continuing to start over from ground zero at most of the generations, and certainly in mission generations. And so we want to develop something that is going to continue beyond, of course, Jonathan Moore. And our team that's there in Nairobi, we want to see that it's truly Kenyan and it's perpetuating on. And so we're focusing on training leaders and seeing healthy churches growing, and they are taking on the responsibility of training the next generation of leaders. And how do we know that this is the case? How do we know when we are no longer needed? And one of the things that we need to make sure that we're doing when it comes to missions is that we have a very clear understanding and philosophy that says that I'm trying to work my way out of a job. that I'm trying to get to the point where I'm useless. And how do I know that I'm useless or that my job there is done? Well, we fulfill the Great Commission by equipping Kenyans to fulfill the Great Commission. That they have taken that and are fulfilling it and perpetuating into the next generation. So we want to lay the foundation for Kenyan church planting movement and a resource center. And maybe now's the time I should mention, what is it? How do we know that it's Kenyan? Typically, we've talked about a three-legged stool that we put up there to realize if a movement is truly indigenous, that it's native. In our case, if it's Kenyan. And maybe I'd propose a fourth leg to that stool. But the typical three-legged stool is we're looking for an indigenous movement that is self-governing, that it's Kenyan leadership. Also, we want to see that it's self-sustaining, that it's Kenyan-funded, that it's Kenyan-owned monetarily, and it's not sustained artificially from outside. Also, we want to see that it's self-propagating, that it is planting other churches, that it's reaching out on its own, that isn't started by missionaries or others like that, but it's Kenyans who are doing that in our case. And I would add a fourth leg to that stool, which would be that it is self-perpetuating, that it's training up its own leaders to raise up the next generation of leaders, and that the Kenyan churches are taking a hold of that responsibility. And so much of our work, much of what I do is talk about a philosophy that says the church is responsible for raising up her own leaders. For too long, we have outsourced that. We outsource it. Even in the U.S., we do the same thing. We outsource it to seminaries. And in missions, we outsource it to seminaries and to missionaries. And we need to make sure that we understand from the New Testament, that's actually the church's work. And we don't want to send our brightest and best outside of the church to go somewhere else to get knowledge, but it's to be done within the church. And so even in the seminary that we have started, we're trying to focus all of it. For one thing, it's a church-based ministry, that it's within the context of a church that we have the seminary. But we're also teaching people who are coming in to have this philosophy that says it's our responsibility as a church to raise up the next generation of leaders and to equip them to continue on and to perpetuate this into the next generation. I'll say more about that in a few minutes. You can see here a few pictures. Nairobi is definitely a modern African urban center. It's a regional leader in economics, politics, and technology. We have big buildings and things like that. And when you get into a level of detail, you see a little bit more. You're reminded, this looks like maybe a typical Western city, but as you get closer and closer, you're reminded it is still third world, and yet it's developing. And this is where we live. We're about a mile and a half from downtown Nairobi, from actually that bottom picture. I took that top picture about a week before we left in June. So what do we do? Well, I mentioned those three ideas, reaching, preaching, and teaching. I said we're trying to lay the foundation for an indigenous, a Kenyan church planting movement. And so we do that along these three lines. So reaching is talking about personal evangelism. Preaching has the idea of church planting. And teaching would be training nationals for the work of the ministry. And for leading the work of the ministry. So reaching the lost is simply personal evangelism, the everyday work that we all ought to be involved in, intentionally taking advantage of the redemptive relationships that God has put into our lives, and reaching people with the gospel through the various relationships that He puts into our lives. Preaching the truth, then, would be church planting. I'll say more about what that looks like in just a minute in one of the slides. But preaching the truth would be, it's very important for us to see churches, healthy Kenyan churches that are being planted. And so I work along with Jeremy and Dan to see church planters that are being raised up from within the church. And so we're working with the Kenyan leaders of Emmanuel Baptist Church to have an internship program that is raising up church planters and then seeing them sent out. And I believe that we're most effective cross-culturally, and also in indigenization, not as the primary men who are planting churches. So I am not the primary one planting churches, but I'm going alongside Kenyans who are planting those churches. which obviously would make it more self-Kenyan governed from the beginning, also Kenyan owned and self-sustaining, and also dealing with some of the cross-cultural issues. I think it's closer to, from the beginning, having an indigenous church plant. And the Kenyan churches are in that position too, where they are able to raise up their own leaders and to plant churches. And then the third item there you see, teaching the faithful, would be the training and replication of servant leaders. That is, training churchmen, leaders who are going to be church planters, who are in some cases already elders and pastors within churches, deacons, and for one thing, equipping them not just with knowledge of the Scriptures, although that is important, but also the heart that puts that knowledge into play and is working that out within the context of the church, and hopefully developing men who truly love the church and are equipped to serve her. I currently work in Emmanuel Baptist Church. You can see a tent here where the church gathers, establishing a healthy hub church that's resourcing the region with a strong ecclesiology. It's an increasingly healthy church, and it also has a very strong understanding of what the church is to be and is intent on getting the word out and spreading that ecclesiology. And when it comes to missions, I believe that missions is fundamentally about ecclesiology. And when we say ecclesiology, we're just talking about a doctrine of the church. It comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which is church in the New Testament. And so when we talk about an ecclesiology, we're trying to equip Kenya with a healthy understanding of what the church is to be, a philosophy, and then establishing that and spreading that vision. Emmanuel Baptist Church, when we first arrived, is a church that was planted actually by a missionary about 15 years ago. That missionary is actually now back in the U.S. in Colorado. And when we first arrived, we were working in this church. It was a church of about 200. And the Lord continues to grow that church. It's about 500 now. And it is sending out church planters. We're looking by the end of this, well, actually the beginning of 2018, to see the first church that planted coming out of Emmanuel Baptist Church to the western side of Nairobi. It's already on the west side, but even farther west, there's an area that is targeted. Dan will be going alongside one of the Kenyans to plant a church from Emmanuel Baptist Church. Maybe I'll go here just for a second. You can see right here is the corner of another building. That's actually the corner of that building. That building is East Africa Baptist School of Theology, where we have started the seminary. So they're on the same grounds. That's just a little bit for free. I'll get to that, a picture of that later. Here is a picture of the 2017 class of church interns, along with a few others. So you see the three men on the left. These three men here and these two men here came in. These five came in at the beginning of 2017 as church planting interns. Men who believed they had a desire, a calling from God to be pastors of a church and wanted to plant churches. And the church brought them in. Emmanuel Baptist Church brought them in to assess character, to establish a strong philosophy. If the church is going to be sending them out, then they certainly need to be on the same plane. And so they're developing an ecclesiology and also helping establish some practical skills in what does it mean to pastor a church. You know, you don't even think about it. They usually just run so smoothly. Like, but what does it mean to have the Lord's table, and how do you even run that efficiently and effectively? What are the things that must be in place, and also what are some practical ways of doing that? How do you have a baptism and marry two people? So just some practical skills that go along with that. So who are the others in this picture? This here is Ken Mbugwa. Pastor Ken is the lead pastor, the one who does most of the preaching and teaching at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And then these other two men, the one next to him, this one is the pastor of a church that's not too far away. It's a small congregation in a slum, and he is pastoring faithfully in that area. And so he partakes in this internship to help, gives a lot of practical skills and philosophy. And this one here is Charles. He actually heads up the day-to-day internship, just running things back and forth. Charles went through our first internship, just in ecclesiology, philosophy of the church, and now he is a key member in the team at Emmanuel Baptist Church in helping bring others along. He's also a man that I meet with each week, and we just walk together, discipling and mentoring and walking through the character of the Christian life. By the way, any questions at this point? I've been talking and talking. Any questions that come to your mind? I'd be willing to entertain any as we go along. Nothing? Yes. Yeah, excellent question. So the question was, are we speaking English? And the answer is yes. Kenya, most of Kenya speaks English. By law, all public education has to be done in English. Now, we're not a public institution. We don't have to, but we do because it's easier for us. And in Nairobi, everyone is fluent in English. So we're able to do that. We're able to use English resources. It's really nice. And then I can get by in Swahili, but it's not used a lot. Any follow-ups? Yes. Yeah, good question. So what's the background of these men? Well, a couple of them have come up. This one has come up through Emmanuel Baptist Church. He went off to Bible college in Zambia and came back. This one here is a Ugandan who came our way, who was involved in a church plant from in a slum area and realized that he wasn't equipped and didn't have a strong enough understanding of what the New Testament church should be, but believes that the Lord is calling him to that, to church planting, and so he wanted to come in to be a part of the training. And a few others have come from around the two that are up there, these other two, have come from around the country somewhere. They're just some other rural parts, have gotten our name somehow, and believe the Lord is calling them, and so they wanted to be a part of it. And then this other one comes from a church in the Nairobi area as well. A weak church, and he wanted to be established in his understanding. So they're coming from all over Kenya and even Uganda and other places in East Africa. For various reasons, sometimes through the conference that we have, the annual conference, they're being equipped with resources and ecclesiology and understanding what the church is to be and what the New Testament teaches, and they're being attracted to that and then realizing that they need some more help as well. Excellent question. Any others? Yes. Yeah, good question. Where do they get their finances from? So we have a small stipend that the church has put together in their budget as part of the missions budget, to have a stipend for each of the men, which is basically, depending on the situation, it's different for each because some have families and some don't. It's basically, the baseline is $200 a month, and for some it's, I think, $300 is the most, or $350. The base salary is about $400 a month as a typical working Kenyan in that position. So they're getting a stipend, and some of them go out and find some other jobs and do some odds and ends as well. And then, so they're being paid a small amount to come in and study God's Word for 40 hours a week. So what they do is, part of the way that we do this is Ken and I and Charles and Jeremy developed this church planting internship a little over a year ago. It's a program of reading and writing and discussion. So they spend about 20 hours a week or more doing reading. Then they do some thinking about that, discussions amongst themselves. They do writing. They come in on Fridays, and we have a discussion for about 2 to 3 hours, and we talk through just you wrote this, why did you say this? So some of it is we're just challenging some things, and then we start to talk about what does it look like in the life of the church to act that out. So you write about church membership. You write about church discipline. Man, that seems really harsh. So what would you do in this situation? Pastor Pyatt and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago. R.C. Sproul, he wasn't immersed, baptized? Would you allow him to partake of communion in your church? You know, things like that. And so we have some really good, sometimes heated discussions about things like that. And then, of course, we're also, each of us are meeting Ken, Jeremy, me, and another guy. We're each meeting with these guys, with a couple of them each week for a couple hours, and just talk through just basic life and discipling. Did you have any follow-up on that? Can you imagine $200 a month? That's, yes. Yes, there is. There are several ministries to ladies. I have a slide in just a few minutes. I'll show with Janet. And if you have any follow-up questions, I can take that then. Yeah, good question. Let me just, I'll keep on moving and take some more questions as we go. This is one of the classrooms in East Africa Baptist School of Theology, or we just call it EABS because it's a lot easier to say. And we have currently about 35 students enrolled. We started the... right when we got there in 2013, we started this seminary. I already showed you that it's on the grounds at Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's a ministry and a partnership with Emmanuel Baptist Church. And you see some of the enrolled students. This was like a day of prayer this last semester. But something that stands out to you probably is that each of them has a laptop. Most of those are personal laptops. Some of them are provided by the seminary is something they can check out during classes. It stays in the library. But what the technology allows is a very unique and developing way of getting high-end resources into the hands of students. We're trying to get education, biblical education, at a high level as cheap as possible, as close to free as we can. And I think we're doing a really good job of it. So as we're developing curriculum, Jeremy and I sit down and we go through and we're looking for academic quality resources. That's one of the criteria. And another one is that it has to be available for free on the internet, that we can get theological journals or chapters of books or whatever and download them and put them into students' hands. Because most, I would say 80% of Nairobians have a smartphone. Now, it's not an iPhone 7 or 6 even, usually. It's older technology or it's lower end, but they have a smartphone. And they're able to access technology, and we can make a zip folder available on Dropbox or Google Drive, and they can download it, and they have all these resources that talk through, you know, whatever, systematic theology or all the various classes that we have going through the Book of John or Old Testament Minor Prophets or something like that. And they've got all of that there in their hand, and they can read that while they're on the bus, and you know, you're just reading on your phone. You've got tremendous access to resources. So that's one of the things that we're trying to leverage and take advantage of as we're there in Nairobi. And it's pretty cool. And we're trying to also make it modular and flexible so it's something that can be rolled out to other areas, whether it's in Madagascar or in Lakeland, Florida, or something else. That's actually one of the criteria, as Jeremy and I are looking at it, is that could we do this at, and we think of one of our partnering churches. So we could say, could we roll out this class to Fellowship Baptist Church and have it be accessible, but also is going to advance the leadership in the church? And so that's one of the things that is going on at East Africa Baptist School of Theology. EABST. Whoops. I double-clicked again. Here's just a picture of the building. You already saw this corner, and you see the tent here. And what we're trying to do is orient all of our training toward enabling Kenyan churches to pass this on to faithful men. That it really is something that we want to make it available and entrust into faithful men, like 2 Timothy 2:2, to pass it on to generation after generation. And it's church-based theological education. We don't try to remove the church from that or just have it be academics, but that it would be something that's based in the life of the church, and we're always thinking through, now what does this look like? How can we live this out? Here we have just a few of the men that are involved. You already saw Pastor Ken Mbugua. This is Andy Matoke. Andy is actually the one who is going to be going out planting this church, hopefully at the beginning of 2018. That's what they're shooting for in January. And then Philo, he was one of our first students. He's probably the farthest along in our programs, and he also is he helps with us, an administrative assistant. He's actually beginning to teach classes that he has taken. Actually, he's taken classes, has become skilled in them and developed a good level of competency. And so we, part of our program is to get men back into, once they've gone through it, now teach it. And we can assess their ability and skill, and maybe they can even see, am I good at this? Am I called to this? Philo is one of those guys who would like to continue to be a teacher in the years to come at Ebst. So you get a little vision of who these guys are, and also pray for them. Pray for us as they continue to develop. This is, I mentioned earlier, one of the ladies' ministries. Janet's involved here. You can see her. I don't know if you can pick her out. Janet is involved in a ladies' ministry that the church administrates. It's for girls who are in the slum. There's a very large slum, about 400,000 people, that's around the corner, about a half mile from the church. And these ladies, some of these are leaders, and some of them are part of the girls that are being reached. They go out to the slum and bring in these young single girls and love them and care for them and share the gospel week after week, and Janet is involved in that, among other ministries. Janet spends time meeting with a couple ladies each week, discipling them as well, just walking through maybe a book of the New Testament or talking through life. And that's one of her ministry opportunities. I wanted to mention also, there's a conference that we started in 2014. So we've had it for 4 years now, 14, 15, 16, 17. We started a conference, and the first year there were about 50-something attenders. This last year has grown to 420-some-odd attenders. It's been growing, almost doubling every year. And what this is a conference where we invite in church leaders, pastors, deacons, others who are in the church to be equipped to understand the Bible better, that they're giving, that they're receiving resources and opportunities to understand better what the New Testament teaches on a given topic. This year, the topic was the church, the pillar and support of the truth. And so we talked through things like church membership and discipline and baptism and all the things that surround the church, including developing her own leaders. And this is becoming a resource into East Africa. We had men from not just Kenya, obviously, but Uganda, Tanzania, Ethiopia, South Sudan to come in and be a part of this equipping. And it's been a really neat opportunity. Nine Marks, if you're familiar with that ministry, they've come alongside and been helping us with resources. They've given us permission to print any of their resources and distribute locally. We can print them at our cost, which is about $2 a book. We have a local printer who's able to do that. And so that's opening up tremendous opportunities, along with Desiring God has given us some permissions as well. And so we're able to provide resources at this conference. And also to establish relationships and establish a network of pastors who are like-minded, who are thinking the same way about establishing healthy churches. And then they're finding each other and they are developing networks so that they're receiving this philosophy and biblical doctrine. And then they're also networked together and trying to get this out to other pastors in their areas. Out of this is developing a program that's called SOMA. SOMA is a Swahili word which means to study, to equip some of these pastors who are involved in this program with basically a distance education program. And so Pastor Ken has asked me to develop this next year when I arrive back in Nairobi, to develop a program for pastors to study. You know, we would send them resources. Actually, I think Nine Marks would sponsor this. To send resources to pastors out in wherever they are. And they read these books, write reports, interact with the resources, have questions, come together with discussion, and kind of a distance education. And it's an exciting thing for our region and for pastors in various areas around East Africa. And a lot of this is spearheaded by local leadership. Pastor Ken has a large vision and continuing to expand that. And he has a vision for the pastors of East Africa. And EBC is becoming a place that's equipping the region. As I kind of come to a close here, I don't want to skip over any questions. So if you have any questions, just raise your hand. I'd love to answer any. But I do want us to focus on this idea that the mission of the church is missions. That's what we're to be doing, making disciples. And so the church is making disciples by going out and calling, summoning people in, inviting them to see the beauty and majesty of our Lord, and then being brought into the church. But the mission of missions is the church. It's to see in this age, the church is God's instrument of calling in worshipers. So it's not just to go out and share the gospel, but to call in to the church and to live in this community, and then to, in turn, go back out and call others in. So the mission of the church is missions, and the mission of missions is the church. And we try to keep that in front of us in all that we do. Any questions? See, I know you're like, well, it's 7 o'clock. I was told pizza is arriving at 7 o'clock. So I don't blame you. If you do have any questions, by all means, I'd love to talk more. Janet could answer every question you have as well. And we'd love to answer any questions you have as we partake of the fellowship together. But without any further questions, I'll close. I'll pray for the food, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to partner together. We thank you for what you are doing in East Africa and what you're doing around the world. We thank you for the promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. And we get to be a part of standing on in an area where you are continuing to expand the fold and seeing the kingdom grow. And we thank you, Lord, that you are doing that for your namesake, and you've allowed us to be a part of that. We thank you, Father, for the relationship that we have here with Fellowship Baptist Church. We thank you for these dear saints and their love for us. We love them dearly as well, and I pray that that comes through. Father, I pray that you would continue to do a work in Nairobi, in Kenya at large. I pray that you would continue to show your goodness and your face shining upon us, as we know you will. And Father, I also pray that you would, as we fellowship together, as we think through this time of year when we give thanks for all that you've done, stir our hearts, not just for what you are doing here, but stir our hearts for what you're doing around the world. We thank you for providing this food for us to eat this evening. We thank you for the time of fellowship. Use it to strengthen our bond together as a body and a community. I pray that you would be glorified in all that is said and done. And we pray this in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and for his glory. Amen.